Hello, Linux fans. Welcome to episode 7 of Destination Linux, where we discuss Linux news and reviews and anything else fun or interesting. Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm Rocco. And this is Destination Linux. Hi, Rob.
How are you, Rocco?
I'm doing excellent, man. Just trying to live life, you know.
I do understand. Have you had a crazy week as it relates to computers or anything like that?
Well, I was on Ubuntu Mate being all stable and stuff, but you know I can't have that. So last night I installed KDE Neon.
Oh, wow. Back to trusty, tried and true KDE?
Hey, I had to come back, man. I did a video the other day on Chaos. Chaos? No, KOS. That's what it is. And it was a KDE version that is more for advanced users, kind of like a Solus. Where it doesn't have the AUR, it doesn't have the Ubuntu repositories, they do all of the curating of the programs. But I wasn't ready to jump into that yet, because I want to make sure I have the programs I need. So I thought about going back to Arch, like Antergos, but I figured, you know what? 5.9 is coming out with Neon, so I'm just going to run with it.
I hear you. And I know mentally kind of what you go through. I've had a similar experience. So I was running Antergos KDE 5.8.5. Yep. And, you know, it's funny, you and I had some discussion about the theming. Well, anyway, there's going to be a soapbox episode where we'll talk about that. But I was trying some crazy stuff and really messed up a few things and decided to do a fresh install. And so last night I was like, you know, I haven't looked at Elementary OS in forever. So had that on there, then ran into a few kind of lagging bugs there. And so three distros in a period of about, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours.
The life of a DHA member.
I tried to call the hotline, but it was busy. So you were probably on there.
I was reinstalling myself. So I'm sorry. I wasn't available.
Oh, goodness. So, well, do you think you're going to try to settle in with KDE Neon for a while? Is that how you're feeling?
Okay, the idea is to settle in with KDE Neon for a while. Okay. Whether that happens or not, I don't know, man. Ubuntu Mate was really good. It was really stable. And the couple days, the week that I ran it, I didn't have any issues. Like, no major, you know, crashing or anything like that. And that was what was great about it. Few minor problems that I have, you know, like I'm big on the sound switching of default sound, and I have speakers and I have headphones, and it's a little bit backwards to go through and switch the sound, and you have to restart the applications in order to, when you change the sound output, you got to restart the applications. So just little things here and there that were bothering me. When I was recording videos, it would hesitate, and I don't know if that had to do with the recording software or the drivers that I was using or what, but there was just little problems here and there. So, and like I said, 5.9 is coming out, so I figured I'd run with it.
But go ahead and just be honest here. Don't you feel at home when you're back on KDE?
I'm telling you, I installed it and I was like, man, this is a beautiful OS.
It feels like a place you're familiar with, right? I mean,
yep. It feels like home.
Right.
And you know, you'd be surprised how many people don't like KDE. Going around and visiting different Mumble channels and IRCs and stuff, you know. You say that you run KDE, and the first thing they say to you is, I'm sorry. You know, like,
but you know what? I'm else surprised at it. How many people I find don't like openly admit that they run GNOME either.
It's the same scenario. GNOME has that stigma, and I guess so does Cinnamon, where you say to somebody you run Cinnamon or you run GNOME, and they're like, ooh,
yeah,
GNOME.
Yeah.
Like, Wow. I
Well,
can't believe you run Gnome.
I left that part out. So we had had some discussion about, and coming up in the news, there's some cinnamon news, mint news rather. And so for, I don't know, 30 minutes, I ran Mint with the cinnamon desktop.
No,
And
you didn't.
yes, I did. Yeah, for about 30 minutes, and I absolutely cannot stand the cinnamon desktop.
Really?
I just and I'm not a neg I mean, my glass is half full, but there is something about the cinnamon desktop that I just can't stand. It felt sluggish. There were some other things there. The menu, I just oh it I listen, I don't cringe over a desktop, period, but I cringed. I cringe through the process of using it. I mean, I don't know what it is. So I guess there's people who see KDE that exact same way, or they see GNOME that exact same way, where they just cringe with the thought of using it,
Yeah, they do.
So.
Yep, they I tell you what, there are people that there's a following that like cinnamon. And then there's the people that on the other side that are like, "No way." Now, I ran cinnamon for a good while and I didn't mind it. I had to change it around by installing applets and a different menu and stuff like that, but I didn't actually mind it because at the time, I forget what I was running before that, but it actually gave you more settings than the desktop I was on. I can't remember which one I was on.
Okay.
So I actually liked it, but it didn't last very long because it is sluggish. I'm
Yeah.
sorry, it is.
Yeah, it is.
But speaking of cinnamon, Rob,
Yep.
they have updated their spices website. So the spices are the applets or the desklets that you install on Cinnamon to customize it. Like I used to run a different menu. It was actually the Stark menu for Cinnamon, and it's a beautiful menu the way it's set up.
Okay.
But they're updating the spices, and the problem with it was that you would go and you would never know for an applet if it was going to crash the system. It wasn't regulated at all. It was
I
just
got you.
people made some applets, they uploaded it to the Spices website, which looked like it was from 1984, and then you would download them and install them, and they could affect your system in any way. There was no security, no checking of the applets or anything. It was just they were there. Well, they're redoing it. They redid the website, and then we'll put a link in the description. And it looks pretty good. They're revamping it so that the author's GitHub pages are linked to their repository. So what will happen is the authors will make a change to their applet. It will be sent through GitHub to the Cinnamon developers. They'll review it and they'll put it in to the spices and they'll upload it immediately once it's reviewed.
Ah.
Now, some developers are upset about that because then it's not completely their work, because they might change something in order for it not to crash Cinnamon.
Gotcha.
But I think all in all, once it's done, I think it'll work out. You may lose one or two of the developers just because of change. People don't like change.
Right.
But I think it'll all work out in the end.
Yeah, I mean, long run, that sounds like a logical move there. You've got to protect your user base. I mean, if I were brand new and I came on and said, hey, okay, let me try one of these spices, and it locked up the system or caused issues with the system, that puts negative light, in that particular distribution, because some people may not see it as just, well, that was an issue with the spice, not with the operating system.
Right. Well,
So.
that's what happens. It blends together where you add maybe four or five, six different applet spices, and then things start not to work right, and you wonder if it's cinnamon, and you don't really realize that, hey, or remember, hey, I added this spice, and that might be affecting something
Right.
adversely over here that you're not even thinking about. So it blends together then. So it's a good thing that they're doing it.
Yeah, I think so as well. Well, and there some other news too. So Linux Mint 18.1 Serena now have the official releases for XFCE and KDE editions. Specifically on the KDE edition, They're pulling the back ports from Kubuntu, so now you're up to Plasma 5.8 LTS.
Coffee, Rob?
Oh, that would be great. Thank you. That smells delicious, Rocco.
It trust me, it is.
So I think that's a good move, but you know, it's just kind of, for me, they're lagging behind. Like if I decide tomorrow that I want to run KDE, I'm not going to go the route of Mint simply because, like you said, 5.9 is just around the corner. So you know, it's kind of a little outdated, but at least it is, you know, current.
At least we're getting there with the updates. I mean, yeah, we've been running 5.8 for a while now. But, I mean, there's two trains of thoughts. I mean, me and you, we like to have the latest features, the latest updates. There right. are people that want to run the LTS versions. And, you know, that's why Neon came out with a user edition LTS.
Right.
And that will stay on 5.8. So it all depends on what your viewpoint is. But for me, yeah, I got to have the 5.9, sorry.
But there is something, you know, we could look back at previous episodes too and remind ourselves there is something to be said for stability. So
there is. And that was just last week, I think it was.
Oh, that's so long ago in the Linux world.
That was so last week, Rob.
That's right.
We want new features. We don't care about stability anymore.
That's right. Speaking of new, isn't there something coming up with Budgie?
Budgie 11, man. So they announced, of course, that last week that they were going to do flat packs. And I guess we're a little late on the news because it's been covered by every show out there. But they are switching over from GTK to Qt.
Okay.
So it's not going to have all of the KDE. You're not going to be able to run Plasma on it, but it will have the back KDE libraries in order to be based off of KDE. I guess Ikey got tired of fixing Solus every GNOME stack that came out. Like every time they would update GNOME, he would have to do workarounds to make Budgie work right, Solus work right. So I guess he got tired of that, you know, and said, the heck with it. We're going to switch to Qt.
No, knowing Ikey, that's not exactly what he said, but
no, he's probably used more colorful language than that. But
how would you like to be a fly on the wall every time something came out of the GNOME stack that broke something for Ikey?
Oh, I'm telling you, so he's probably flipping out every time.
Well, I can't imagine the amount of work. You know, let's say you've spent a month on something, and then here comes an update in the GNOME stack that breaks something. It breaks all the work you've just, time and energy and everything you put into whatever it was that broke. Man, that's got to be like a stab to the chest or something. You know?
Yeah, but boil it down to think about even your own system.
Oh, yeah.
You spend all this time, you know, say on Arch, you spend all of this time customizing your system, making it, and then the next latest update comes out and something breaks. It's that frustrating, I guess. So
yeah, I would say it is, and I would love to have an opportunity, and maybe we could invite Ikey on to the show if he would ever, you know, entertain that, because I would love to hear from him kind of the behind the scenes of what that process is like, you know, from a point of amount of time involved, how often things like that would occur. I just find that kind of thing interesting.
Yeah, I think the developers have a different way about how they do things in order to, like, a different workflow, like, than, say, me or you. I mean, obviously, we're looking at it from a user standpoint. And it's funny because you listen to him talk on shows, and he's on a couple of the Telegram groups, and somebody will ask him a question, and I'll be waiting for the answer. And, you know, you try to think of what he might say for this or for that. And it's always, he always comes up with a different take on it. Like, he's looking at it from a different angle than what I'm looking at it. So yeah, that would be awesome to see.
Yeah, that sure would. Well, there's some more news coming from Ikey and some development as far as the Brisk menu is concerned. You know, speaking of time, I mean, where does he find the time to update this? But there's a new update for the Brisk menu, and that takes it to version 0.3.0, and that's going to enable internationalization of the Brisk menu, as well as search. So there's some improvements to keyword search. It could be lowercase or uppercase now. So, you know, they're definitely not sitting around resting on the Brisk menu. This thing is developing fast.
Well, they're already planning the 0.4.0 release, and that will probably come with some major developments. But this one was more of a fix for a few issues, like you said, the case sensitive thing. And when you start, when you start typing, like if you start typing video, it will now pull up your video player like VLC where it didn't before.
And I think this update also gets rid of duplicate search results. And I think there were just a few icons that maybe were missing in the search lineup. So those have been fixed.
Yep. So Wine 2.0, Rob, as that is out. It has 6,600 bugs that have been fixed.
That is
an amazing amount of bugs fixed.
It is, but you know, I think what they left out, that there's 8,800 left to be resolved. No, I'm kidding. That's bad. That's mean.
Wait. I mean, Linux has come a long way.
Yeah.
But every time I run something in Wine, I feel like I'm running it through like Windows 95 or something. Yeah. I mean, it just feels like it's like from yesteryear. You know what I mean?
We're
getting support now. One of the features was they're going to support Microsoft Office 2013. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's right.
Really?
Well,
I'm not busting on the Wine guys. I mean, they do a phenomenal job. 6,600 bugs is a ridiculous amount of bugs to fix.
That's a tremendous
amount of work. We just are afforded, as an end user, we're just afforded the ability to critique. And, you know, I mean,
well, and I shouldn't have said it that way. I was, you know, I jest when I say there's 8,800 more bugs. There's really only 44. No, I'm kidding. but for me, Wine has never been as successful. I've just never been successful with just Wine alone. And I know I'm going to hear it from the listeners that, well, you weren't doing it right. And I will attest to that. I would always mess up somewhere along the way. And if I was successful in getting something installed, it just seemed to never last long. And for me, the conclusion was this is more trouble than it's worth. Now, I have had some success with the commercial version, which is, I think, called Crossover by CodeWeavers.
Yep.
I've had much more success with getting things set up, and that uses Wine. Okay. That way than I ever have with just Wine. Now, maybe Wine 2.0 takes it to a whole nother level, and I need to be fair in saying that I haven't tried Wine 2.0 to see how successful that is. And I think it's a great thing because we've had this discussion, Rocco, where if there's that one piece of software you need to do what it is you do, and it's not available in Linux, then thank goodness for the folks at Wine because they've made it possible in a lot of cases. So
they have made it possible in a lot of cases. The only thing that I'll say about Wine is I spent a lot of time trying to get programs to work in Wine. And, you know, it was a hit or miss whether they worked or not.
Yep.
But I found that if I really needed that program, there wasn't a program that I really needed to run in Wine that I couldn't find an alternative in Linux.
Okay.
So, you know, something like obviously I dual boot for Battlefield 1, but everybody knows you're not going to play Battlefield 1 in Wine, okay?
Right.
So, excuse me. The programs that I tried, it was an easier alternative, a better alternative, I should say, to switch to a Linux alternative than to try to spend a few hours trying to get this one program to work. So.
Right. That's right. Well, you know, and I wish them the best, and I hope that we continue to see improvement. I think, too, Rocco, you're starting to see the gap narrow in that a lot of what we used to have to do resonant on our system, a lot of that's done in the cloud now.
Yep.
Not everything. I mean, there's certainly some high-end photo editing apps and things. You know, there's Adobe, the Adobe suite and things like that. Excuse me, just one second. I'm gonna click something off. But yeah, it's definitely great to see progress, man. So, but you know what we really need?
What do we really need, Rob?
What we really need is the brand new KDE Slim book that is strictly KDE focused. Now, this is one sweet system. This is what we really need.
You mean a laptop with KDE installed?
Pre-installed, high-end hardware, HD 1080p screen. With all of the apps and everything have been tested, all KDE focused, man. Does that sound like a
That
dream
sounds
machine
like a
or
dream
what?
come true, Rob.
Oh boy.
So what
So
is it? What does it have in hardware wise? What is it? What are they offering?
you've got several options. The prices are going to start out somewhere just under $800 for the base, which your options include a Core i5 or a Core i7 processor. You start out with 4 gigs of RAM, and of course you could bump that up, all the way to 16 gigs of RAM, with a base hard drive, 120 gig SATA SSD. You're going to have two USB 3.0 ports and a 13.3 1080p display. So comes in under 3 pounds. I mean, this is a very nice sounding system to me. Now, there's one drawback for me personally, and I believe that it has, and I need to verify this. First of all, it looks like a piece of art
Yep.
when you look at the photo, but I believe it has a micro HDMI port as opposed to a full HDMI
A mini
or
HDMI.
a mini. Yeah,
Yep.
mini. Okay, mini is better than micro. All right. So it's doable now. The micro is the real tiny one, and then there's one in between, which is the mini.
Yep.
So that'll work.
Well, it is priced about for the i7, like $900 to $1,000.
Yeah.
Depending on what you add and upgrade with it, because you can upgrade the RAM and everything, and you can also get excuse me, hi yeah, can't even talk. You can also install other operating systems too, like Ubuntu,
Right.
Mint, but this one specifically comes with KDE Neon, which it says KDE Neon for the moment. I don't know what that means. I don't know if they're going to switch that then. Or what, but it says KDE Neon.
Yeah, that just to, I mean, if you had to buy something new, now, just to back up on that a minute, I've got a Dell Inspiron 13.3, high def screen. With an Intel Core i5. Now you can shop around and find this thing because it's, I want to say it was first released maybe close to 2 years ago, this particular model.
Right.
It's super slim, SSD drive, pretty well close to the specs we just read off here. And I think you can, if you keep your eye on Amazon or your local Best Buy or computer store, you can find this thing for somewhere in the neighborhood of 600. And I've even seen a few open boxes where you can get the same system for around 550 or something like that.
Well, there's definitely more options now than there used to be for hardware and getting Linux installed on it by default. So.
Well, and that's the thing. There's the difference. So this thing would, deliver fresh with a fresh install of KDE on there. As far as now, that's going to be KDE Neon.
Right.
So it's going to be current, as opposed to you go buy the system with Windows on there, there's an advantage to that. Let's say you need to dual boot, and you've already got Windows installed and got the license and everything set up. So there's advantage there. But if you're certainly locked in and hey, KDE Neon is it for me, and this is all I ever need to order that pre-installed and have it all set up. All the drivers and everything tweaked out. That's kind of nice.
Yes, that is kind of nice, I gotta say.
That's if you've got money just to play with, like you, Rocco.
Yeah, I got money to burn. No, Rob, it's a little bit out of my price range, so I'm gonna pass on that.
right.
So the guys over at Linux All in One, remember last week we talked about their Mix version.
Yeah.
So they decided that that wasn't enough, that the Mix version wasn't going to satisfy everybody.
Okay.
So they decided to make another one for Fedora. So now you can get Fedora with either GNOME, KDE, XFCE, LXDE, Cinnamon, and Mate, all on one disc.
I love it. I love it. Those guys are great. Those guys are like feeding an addiction, though, you know?
I mean, I'm telling you. Well, you know, I mean, last week I brought it up as a kind of a joke to talk about. But to be honest with you, the more distros that do this, the more availability for, say, like me. I've installed Fedora once, looked at it and said, okay, good. And then I wiped it and went on to something else. But if I wanted to try the different Fedora versions to see which one was best for me, if I decided to go with Fedora, I might want to do this rather than burn separate USBs to check out which desktop environment I wanted to go with.
I agree with you. I think it's terrific. And I've, you know, Fedora, I've got like a soft spot in my heart for these long-term distributions like Fedora and Mandriva. You know, there are now distros based off of Mandriva and, right, and SUSE or OpenSUSE. Those three, I kind of always am drawn back to, well, I want to go back and see what they're up to and that kind of, but this makes it so easy for Fedora. And you know, Fedora actually is one you should keep your eye on because they release pretty quickly. If you keep an eye on Fedora, man, they're not sitting around. I mean, they go from one version to the next pretty darn quickly.
Yeah. Well, I tried the, I forget if it was GNOME or KDE that I tried, but I can't do GNOME anymore because of my NVIDIA issues.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that brings us up to some things for sure. Now, you know, Rocco, I pulled out a thing we call the soapbox, and it's sitting there waiting on you, buddy.
Well, Rob, if there's a soapbox available, I'm going to get on it, and I'm going to talk about KDE for a moment.
All right.
So I love KDE, all right? A lot of my videos were dedicated to checking out KDE and everything that you can do with it, all of the settings. So I kind of look at KDE as something that I can critique because I use it, okay? I don't like it when people don't use something and they critique it, But it's kind of like, you know, you can critique your brother because right, he's your brother, but you don't want other people critiquing him. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, excuse me. So, I love KDE. There are so many good things about it. KDE Connect is the best app on KDE, especially to connect your phone to your desktop.
Yeah, it's
none
great.
Better.
It's great.
There are many apps that you can use on KDE that just extend the functionality of the desktop, okay? But I'll install KDE, and I will love it. Like, I installed it last night, and I love it. It's awesome. But there will always be them little things that get in the way that just drive me nuts that would make me want to try something else, like, for example, GNOME. And we've talked about this before. Why would a KDE user be attracted to GNOME?
Yeah, they're totally different desktop environments.
But GNOME is a beautiful desktop environment that is simple. And you can do things in, okay, maybe not out of the box. You may have to add a few extensions to GNOME. And you do, because I've already talked about how it's ridiculous about some of the things not even being built in. But once you add those extensions, it allows you to do things that in other operating systems you can't do. And I'll just give you one example for my sound. I talked earlier about having different sound options. I got speakers, I got headphones, I got monitor outputs. I got 5 audio outputs on this computer. And I switch between them depending on what I'm doing. If I'm listening to music, I may want it out of my speakers. If I'm taking a phone call, I may want to put the headphones on. So in KDE, you have to right-click on the icon. You have to go into the control settings. Then you got to hit the hardware or configuration tab. Then I have to, in order to hear sound out of my speakers, every other sound output has to be disabled. If I leave them enabled, there is no sound out of my speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes with the headphones. So now I have to disable the ones I don't want and enable the one I do want. That's ridiculous. I mean, you got an operating system like Solus where in Budgie, you open the Raven menu and you pick the one you want and it immediately switches. How is that possible that it's so easy? And in GNOME, there's an extension where when you hit the drop-down menu, you see all of your outputs and you click it and it immediately switches. How is that possible, Rob?
Well, let me ask you this: is it the frustration? I mean, you obviously you know how to go in and change all of those settings. Is it the fact that you have to do that, or is it the fact that you're irritated that here is such a phenomenal desktop environment that has missed the boat in this one area and it's blaring to you know?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that when I have to do that, all I can think about is, why do I have to do this? I don't have to do this on GNOME. And that's all I can think about every time I switch to sound output. And you know what? That may not bother certain people, okay? You may not switch your sound outputs often, so you may not even notice that problem. But I switch them often, and those little things are things that add up that bother you.
Well, and I can listen, if it's something you use all the time and you have to do that day in, day out. Absolutely, especially if you have used other desktop environments that get it right.
Right.
So it's like you know what you know, right? And so once you discover, it's like air conditioning. Once you have a taste of air conditioning in your life, it's really hard to go back. You know?
Don't want to give it up. Well, I'll
So,
tell you another one,
all
Rob,
right, all right.
is the theming. KDE is a beautiful operating system. There's no doubt about it. And the Breeze theme is probably the best theme out there for any distro, in my opinion. But me being a theme changer as much as I'm a distro hopper, I change my theme every week or 2 weeks, depending on what I'm in the
Every
mood
two,
for.
be honest, every 2 hours,
Come on. I'm not that bad. Maybe I am. But anyway, I change it to maybe a dark theme or maybe to a light theme. And basically, when you change themes in KDE, you have to go into multiple different locations in order to change it. Now, they do have the look and feel,
Right.
but they don't have many. And maybe with 5.9 coming out and the new features, and that's part of what one of the new features is, that you can change the look and you can change everything on your desktop and then upload it to the KDE Look website, and then other people can download it. So you'll be getting more and more look and feels once 5.9 comes out. And that's great, but for right now, you have to go into each individual, into the desktop theme, into the window border, and it's great that you can change everything specifically, but you have to go into each individual one and set them. And
Right.
then, if you do find a theme, and there are a few, if you do find a theme that matches all of your QT apps, then you have to find a theme that matches your GTK apps. And that is almost nearly impossible to find a theme that matches both the way it's supposed to. It's almost impossible. I spent a day looking for themes, trying to match them specifically to flow between GTK and QT apps.
Well, I'm right there with you on that. In fact, last night had an issue where I had a specific icon theme, and overall theme that I wanted to apply. And lo and behold, everything was fine. And I thought, wow, this really applied nicely. I don't know what Rocco's talking about with these issues. But it wasn't until I launched into Kaden Live for some video editing. And everything was totally hosed within Kaden Live. And I don't want to jump on your soapbox, so I'll keep it brief. Long story short, changed themes, uninstalled Kaden Live, reinstalled it. Nothing was doing. And it really, really was messed up. Not only that, not just from the theme perspective, Rocco, but it caused issues with the various controls being out of whack. And so you were like halfway able to reach part of the controls. So, man, I got a real taste of what you're talking about right now.
Well, I mean, I get the whole difference between GTK apps and QT apps. I get that. I mean, I get why it's like
Right,
that. I
right.
just think that we're on such an, I mean, KDE is such an advanced desktop that at some point we should have been able to come up with something to make them look better, like make it easier to switch. If I switch in GNOME to a theme, I switch in one place basically for the shell and one for the actual colors or whatever. And everything switches immediately and everything flows immediately. Okay. And I'm not praising GNOME. I mean, I know that Qt apps, you may run into the fact that Qt apps may not look the same on GNOME. But my point is, there should be something by now. I mean, KDE's been around for 20 years. Should be something there to make it easier to switch themes and make it look uniform across the board.
I think we're going to see it. There have been so many updates, so many improvements to KDE over the last year. It's really been astounding. And I think Qt is also coming into its own. I mean, if you look at a really well done Qt based application done right, it looks so much more professional and modern to me, in my eyes, than any GTK based apps. And I think as time goes, we're just going to see continual improvement there. But you're right, they've got to be able to allow people who do like to customize and go in and make things look a specific way. They've got to make that easier. Now, would you agree with me, while you're still on your soapbox, would you agree with me that the basic default Breeze theme that's in place with KDE is the more professional looking desktop environment?
I wholeheartedly agree. Okay. Like I said, it is the most beautiful theme out there, and they have done a great job with both the light and the dark versions of it. So there's no question about that, it's awesome. Okay. And like I said, I'm criticizing these little critiques, and there's a few more that I won't get into, but I'm criticizing this because I love KDE and I think it's the best desktop environment out there. It's just, why can't we have this?
Well, Rocco, we're friends, and there are times when I think I need to butt out. But in this case, man, I felt like maybe as a friend, it was my duty to kind of get involved a little bit. So I actually called KDE and I had a long conversation with her, and she told me that really you need to accept her for who she is, and that it probably wouldn't hurt if you spend a little more time with her.
Rob, she's changed over the
And while we ended the conversation, she just wanted me to let you know that you don't bring her flowers anymore.
All right, I'll work on bringing her flowers, all right? But darn it, can we get some uniform themes for crying out loud and some sound switching going on? That's all I'm saying.
Well, so what are you going to do? So you're back on KDE Neon, and what's your thought there? Are you going to kind of wait it out for 5.9 to see what changes,
I am. Go ahead.
and then make a decision from there, maybe? Or
I think I've already made my decision. I think I'm going to stick with KDE Neon for a while. I installed it specifically to check out 5.9 and see the new features. So, because I could have stayed on Ubuntu Mate because I was running stable. I just, like I said, I just switched over so I could see the new 5.9 features. And, there's so many good things about it. One or two little bad things about it, So, yeah, I'm going to stick here for a while.
All right. Well, best wishes on it, buddy. Best wishes.
So, Rob, do we have any new distros coming out? Because we like to
Yeah.
check out new distros.
Yeah. DistroWatch has been, I'm going to say, not exactly exciting for the past couple of weeks, but there's some more well-known distributions that are coming up here. So, Lubuntu has announced the second alpha release. And they go on to talk about that. It's going to be 1704 Alpha 2. They go on to say this is not considered a stable release. So if you are someone who has to have stability, avoid this. But definitely check that out if you're a Lubuntu fan or user. And then Bodhi Linux has the availability of a new stable version. This is 4.1.0. And it's just, it's an update to the Projects 4X series. Lots of bug fixes in this, so give that a look. And of course, Linux Mint, which we discussed, Linux Mint 18.1 for KDE and XFCE official releases there. And so that kind of, I think we covered scientific last week, I believe.
So, have you ever installed Bodhi?
Yes, actually, Matt and I took a look at that, and it's very interesting. They've got a,
Why don't I remember that?
yeah, we, huh,
I'll have
unless,
to go back and look at that.
yeah, I'm, yeah, we did a video on that some months back, and you know, it's really an interesting, they've got their own Moksha, desktop, and they've got some really unique theming in place. I mean, it's one of those distributions that is definitely different out of the box. So, you know, and now this particular version's looking at a more current kernel too, with kernel 4.8, and some, you know, again, it's one of those distros. If you're looking for something just really different, give it a look.
Well, you did a video. You say you did a video on Bodhi, but you did a video 2 days ago or a couple of days ago on a new website.
Oh yes, absolutely. So there's a website, and this was brought to my attention through Linux Quest from Floris, who's been a Linux Quest viewer for some time. And so, as soon as he sent it to me, I was kind of researching a few things anyway, and jumped over to the website and was blown away. So LinuxJourney.com, and I've got a video on that. It is so well laid out. I mean, you took a look at it, right?
Oh, I looked at it. I mean, it's a awesome website, not only for newer people, but for, you know, I'm looking through it and it comes with a sidebar on the left where you can click on a category of what you want to do, like to go to a different folder. It's command lines basically, and it shows you what they do and what to type in and how to maneuver in. It just basically shows you everything about the commands inside of Linux. And I think it's great, even for people like me to like, I don't use them commands every day.
Right.
So even for people for me like me, it just refreshes in your mind what you do to get in and out through the terminal, because we're so used to the GUIs, you know. It's like I don't use the terminal often to maneuver inside of files and all that.
Absolutely. And they make it fun. You know, there's a little quiz. There are links to other resources. And this is all, done. It's all completely free and open source, done with, you know, various contributors. I think there's something like 25 to 27 contributors, maybe more than that. And so just hats off, great job, and keep up the good work. I think that is the kind of thing for someone, well, like you said, it's great for everyone, but for someone brand new, you can start out with the basics and work your way up.
Yep.
Hey, I got a question for you, Rocco.
What's the question, Rob?
Do you ever use Google Maps on your Android phone?
I do use Google Maps on my Android phone.
All right. And that's probably most people's go-to app for maps on their phone, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I would think, yeah.
Yeah, it's really well done. There are some frequent updates here over the last 6 months or so that have really made Google Maps very nice. But I've got another pick for you, and I wanted to see if you've ever used, it used to be called just Here Maps.
Yep.
Now it's called Here, in quotation, We Go Maps. Have you ever used that?
I actually have that on my phone. I've had it on my phone ever since I got it. Because, you know, there are times where, you know, maybe you don't want Google watching where you're going. So it was actually a really good map app.
Yeah. Well, they've had some frequent updates, and I use it as well. And one of the reasons that I use it and why it's our app pick, Android app pick of the week, is number one, it, like you said, it's a great alternative to Google Maps. It's absolutely free. And then the other main reason that I really like it is you have offline map access.
I think that's the biggest feature that you can have. I mean, there are times where you're going to be in places. I mean, I don't know about other people, but I don't live near the city. So I'm out in the country, and there are times where I don't have signal.
Right.
So you're going to go in and out with Google Maps and everything. But with Here Maps, you have the offline maps that you download, and you basically have GPS without needing an internet connection.
I think it's great, and I travel a lot for my business, and I'll get into spots where I have no cell connection for 30 minutes at a time, you know, when you're
Yep.
traveling through the mountains and things like that. So for me, it's been invaluable, but more than that, this is real turn by turn directions. Also, as you update these maps, you're getting data as well, such as, restaurants in the area and things like that. So you're not just pulling in map data, you're getting additional data. And if you do have a connection, that data is updated as far as local restaurants and things. But now there's some other features that I really like from a business standpoint. So, and you can do this now within Google Maps. You can create what's called it's kind of like a pushpin note. I forget exactly what they call it. But let's say you've got a couple destinations that you pin and you save those in favorites, which you can do within here maps. You can create categories. So in my case, I have categories that are customers. I have categories for places that I just want to visit during my travels. So you can set up the various categories, but you can also set a description for that pushpin, if you will. I'm going to call it a pushpin. That would tell you maybe in the case of the business, I would give it a company name. So really some nice features. Plus they have a website, the Here Maps website, that allows you to log in under your user account, and you're going to see all of those favorites, and you can go in and use it from the web interface, and then it'll sync back over to the actual app when you use it.
Well, the other thing too is that you can use this offline. So there's a checkbox in the settings that you can check, use offline app. And then you're not using any bandwidth either.
Well, and I think that's a battery saver as well.
Yeah, it's an all-around nice app.
Very good. So if you're in need of a new map app, or you're trying to stop using a lot of the Google products that are, let's face it, they're good and they're easy to use. But
They're
if that's
all over the place.
and they're all over the place, that's right. Then Here Maps, or Here We Go Maps, is an excellent choice, and that's our Android app pick of the week.
Very nice. So I did want to mention that Joel Gibson earlier in the week posted on the YouTube channel about the Budgie 11. So we covered that in the news, but he actually posted a link for us to go to it.
Excellent. Thank you, Joel.
We have an email, Rob, from V, who wants to let us know about GNOME, and if any, I don't know if we did talk about it in another episode about problems where I was having with GNOME and the Wayland situation with the NVIDIA drivers. So there is a way to get around that. You can use the LightDM login manager instead of GDM, and that will go to an X session rather than use Wayland. And Chris Weir, one of the other YouTubers, had the same issue and did it. Now his workaround, Rob, his workaround was that he installed Manjaro XFCE, then he installed all of the GNOME desktop environment basically, and then uninstalled XFCE, and then he had a GNOME X session
Wow. Wow.
Manjaro. So I guess that was the long way around. But for me, when I had that problem, after I installed it, I would never get to the login screen. So you would almost have to switch the you would almost have to switch to the LightDM through the terminal. And I didn't I don't have two computers, so I didn't exactly have the commands in front of me to switch to LightDM. I didn't know about it at the time, but even if I did, I didn't have the commands in front of me to switch to the LightDM desktop manager. So it wouldn't have helped me at the time. But there it is.
Gotcha.
If you want to use the LightDM, if you want to use GNOME with an NVIDIA driver, you have to use LightDM right at the moment until waiting till they get their act together.
Yeah. Well, thank you, V. And we had another question from Torin. He wanted to know, and this is not at all tech related. He wanted to know, Rocco, what is that painting behind you?
Well, that painting has been in the family for quite a few years. I have a couple different copies of it. Always loved it. And I think the one thing that it does is it reminds me of what's important in life. So that's why it's there.
Well, that is excellent. And you and I kind of have an inside, I guess, running, not really a joke, but we're waiting on, and this will, I guess, let the cat out of the bag. We We've been waiting on someone to remark that I have the exact same painting, albeit much smaller, right behind me on my shelf.
And so
the story there, we'll just share this with the listeners. The story there is that I noticed your painting, and I made a remark that one of my family members, a grandparent, used to have the exact same painting on their wall above their dinner table. And for me, it always just kind of, as you said, made me feel grounded and made me think about the important things in life. And so I made mention of that to you, and being the kind person that you are, I got a package in the mail one day. And so lo and behold, I have one, but it's been hilarious because no one's ever realized it.
If you look at it now, you can see double almost.
But... Now you see it. So
there's the story behind the painting.
There you go, Torin.
All right. So Stefan, he sends in an email to destinationlinux.tech, or comments at destinationlinux.tech. And he basically talks about F-Droid. And we talked about F-Droid in the last episode. And he wants to let us know that F-Droid does track the apps that go into the store for safety, and they are concerned about privacy. So basically, we were talking about the fact that we weren't sure how secure F-Droid was, and actually, Torin made mention to it as well, that he's used it for years without problems. So they just want to let us know that there are good apps in F-Droid, and that they do care about privacy and security, which they check. So.
Well, and that, thank you guys. I appreciate that, because it's been years since I've used it, and really, you know, not up to snuff. I knew enough to talk about it, and so hearing from people using it is always great.
Yep. So, Rob, Acid Monkey.
Yes.
One of the YouTubers. He feels the same way that we do about Linux. Okay? He loves Linux, wants to continue to show it to people and make it a great operating system all over the place. Okay. But one of the obstacles that he runs into is in a business environment. You know, he has a small, medium business, and he has programs like you talked about last week with Outlook that he needs to have for a business, and it makes it hard for adoption to other people inside the business to run Linux.
Right, right. You know, I think that's a problem. And Acid Monkey, I feel your pain, man. I feel your pain because you often read articles about this too, where you've got someone within a company who may actually have some pull and be able to change the direction as far as what's being used software-wise. But you have to think about all of these other scenarios with software that's proprietary, you know, other people who, like you said earlier, Rocco, who are just absolutely against any type of change and could never fathom using another operating system to do their work. So you start to run into all of these walls and obstacles. And I would love, you know, in a perfect world, I would love to see those walls and obstacles completely removed. And, you know, if I wanted to install Outlook on my Linux operating system, hey, I can do that. I just feel like that's going to be something we're going to have to live with for some time to come, because guess what? There's money involved, and I get that. You can't develop and offer all this awesome software for free. Well, you can, but it doesn't always mean it works the way it needs to under different use case scenarios. And the business world, I think, is going to be one of those areas where we just kind of lag behind. A lot of it has improved just because of what you can now access online.
Well, there's always going to be Linux alternatives for programs, but we've talked about it before that, you know, you have to go with what is best for you. And that applies to a business even more so.
Right.
Because it is your business. It is about making money. It is about productivity. So you have to run the programs that are going to work best for you. And
right.
I think the other problem is you have other people in your business that maybe don't want to adapt to Linux.
That's right.
Okay? Maybe they like a certain program and they don't want to you know, you may want to install Linux on your computer and you may want to install Linux on their computer as well in the business itself, but
right.
they might not want to run Linux. They might not want to run this program because of they can't have this program.
Rocco, we've run this accounting software on Windows 95 since 1997. I don't understand why we need to change.
Exactly.
Oh, well, but thank you, Acid Monkey. I feel your pain.
There's a lot of pain going on, but hey, all in all, I think the adoption of Linux is, I think what they said something about, it was almost up to 5%, I forget.
Yeah.
Somebody threw that out. So I think all in all, it's we're on the upswing. I just think we need to keep improving.
Let's there put it you that go. Way. There you go. And being on the upswing is awesome. So, well, Rocco, I think we've reached our final destination for this episode.
Rob, we made it to our destination. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Be safe. And until next week, where we continue our journey to
Destination Linux. Thanks, everyone. All right. We'll catch you later.
Oh, well. All right. So we are recording.
Hello, Linux fans. Welcome to Destination Linux, Episode 7, where we talk about Take two.
Cut.
I was about to say Linux Quest.
Wait.
That was easy.